Be out tonight at the house of the Lord. Appreciate each of you that's able to come. Again, I want to appreciate the usually when you have a funeral anymore in the daytime, there's very few here. And that's because people have to work, naturally, if you're not family. But the church was well represented. I was real proud of the great number of our church members that did come out to support the family. And it was, when I walked in the side door, I was really shocked at the number that was here. So I appreciate y'all being here and coming and supporting and continue to remember the family in your prayers. I mean, when it really hits home, like I've told you a million times, when it really hits home is when everybody goes home and you're trying to go back to normal. And it's not back to normal. It's a new normal. You got to learn how to handle it over time with the Lord's help. Well, tonight we're in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to finish, good Lord willing, the first chapter. And what I'm going to do, I didn't do it today, I should have, but I'm going to give you a test on chapter 1 next week. And it is basically, I'm just going to give you some questions for you to work on, and then we'll go over them. I don't take them up. I'm going to take Rick's up. But I don't take anybody else's up, and then what we'll do is, it's just, you know, a test makes you think of what, it's just a review, basically it is. So I'll give that to you, Lord willing, next week, so you be sure to keep that in mind, too. Okay? All right, 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to go ahead and read verses 16 through verse 18, which is what we're going to cover tonight, and this will finish this chapter up. It says, "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus." Man, that's hard for me to say. People called him by different names. And one called it Onesiphorus and Onesiphorus. And that's just hard for me to say either way you want to count it. I wish they'd just called him Jeff, don't you? But this is a great man of God, it says, "The Lord give mercy into the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me." He oft refreshed me. And notice what else it says. "He was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for the people that are here tonight, my Lord, and we pray for those that couldn't come because of sickness or working or even indifference. We pray that they'd be back Sunday. We look forward to coming back and worshiping. And Lord, as we teach your word, we pray that you'd anoint these lips of clay, that what I'd say would be what you'd have to be said. And we pray that the understanding of the people will be opened so that we can learn your word and grow closer to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, what I've decided to do, if you'll look at verse 16, you see that word where it says refreshed me. It says he oft refreshed me. And what I'm going to use as a title, the ministry of refreshment is the title. The ministry of refreshment. Now, this is a ministry that we all can do, Mike. The whole church should be more thoughtful in being a minister of refreshment. Now, if you wanted to look that word refreshment up, here's what it means. It means to cool off. You know, for instance, sometimes you might be real hot. Maybe it's a real hot summer day, and then you'll take get in front of a fan and let it cool off and take you a drink of water. That's refreshment, and that's really the idea of it. It means to cool off, to relieve, or refresh. That's exactly what it means. To cool off, to relieve, or to refresh. That's what this man did. Don't know if he's a preacher or not. Doesn't really seem when you see his name in Scripture to be a preacher. But what he did, Larry, is he sought to refresh people. He sought to come and meet needs that they have and to simply just relieve them in some kind of way, help them in some kind of way. That's what he did. That's what this man is known for in this particular chapter. It's basically coming to aid to people. That's what it is. It's basically, when you talk about the ministry of refreshment, it's basically coming to the aid of someone who needs it. Okay? Now, that's a ministry. That's a ministry, as I've already said, that we all need to be able to do. And we should choose to do this. Sometimes we have to think to ourselves, what would they need? If I was in that situation, what do they need? What can I do to help you? One of the things that's pretty much worthless, and here's what we do today to make ourselves feel good, I think. If you need anything, holler. Well, that's just pretty much worthless. People are not going to holler. What's good to do is to go up and say, listen, I want to do something for you. What can I do? What can I do? It might be, it could be practically anything. I mean, they might, I tease Lee. But Lee ain't here, is he? Is he next door? No, oh my, you're back here in the back. I remember poor Lee, when he had that touch of that stroke there, and there he pulled in and had parked, didn't park in the parking lot, parked where you went in the emergency room up there. And so I realized that, and I realized that it needed to be put in the parking lot. And you know, that cost me $5. To put that thing in there. You remember that? So I just did that to tease. I was trying to get you to lift your spirits a little bit. So I paid that $5 to that fella, and I walked in. Brother Lee it was the gloomiest room you ever seen in your life, wasn't it? And I walked in, and walked over to him. I said, that was $5 to park there. And everybody come in. I said, you know, it's $5 to park out there. And Lee said, give him $5. He can already talk. Somebody give him $5. But that helps. There's things that you can do if you'll think a little bit about it. I've been at the hospital before. And I know one particular fella. And I was getting ready to leave. And it just come on my heart is what it did. It come on my heart. And I looked at him. I was getting ready to leave him there at the hospital. His dad was very sick. And I said, do you got any money? I said, do you got any money? He said, Jeff, I ain't got a dime on me. Well, what happened is the ambulance comes, you jump and you follow the ambulance up. And it's always good to have a little bit of money when you go to the hospital if you want to get something to drink or eat. So I said, well, do you got any money? He said, Jeff don't got none. I give him some money, you know. Now, I made sure he paid me back. No. It's not about nothing like that, but it's about being thoughtful. It's putting yourself in their place and trying to figure out if there's something that they need. Saying, if you need anything, holler, is saying, I just want to get out of here. I want to get home, and I'm just offering this so it won't look good. You know, it won't look bad is basically what that is. Y'all agree? That's basically what that is. You say, what can I do? Here's what you need to do. What can I do to help you right now? What can I do to help you right now? Can I go to the grocery store for you? Can I cut your grass? Do you need some money? Do you need something? What can I do for you? And you'd be specific. And that's what the ministry of refreshment is. And we all can do that. I mean, there's different ministries in a church, but those who have the ministry of refreshment are extra special people. And you'll never forget them. I talked to a lot of people that's been sick, and they'll tell me about so-and-so that visited and what they brought and what they did and how thoughtful that they was. And if you've been in a hospital and you've been sick, or you know what people need when they're there, and you know exactly what to say sometimes and exactly what to do. Well, Onesiphorus, this is what his ministry was. It says he oft, you notice the wording? It says he oft refreshed me. That means it wasn't just on this occasion. It was on other occasions that this man would come and to Paul and seek to meet needs. Now you talk about a lonely time this would have been for Paul. When you read the text, it seems he was in Rome in prison, in chains, which was usually in darkness, and there wasn't nobody with him. And can you imagine? He searched through all of Rome. And Rome was bigger, a little bit bigger than Bancroft, don't you imagine? Rome was a big city, millions of people in it. He had to search, you know, there wouldn't have just been one prison. There would have been prisons everywhere. He would have had to search all over Rome to find this preacher. That's what he did. That's what it says in the text. Look in verse 17, it says, he sought me out. That's what he did. He said, he sought me out. He searched for me till he found me, and he refreshed me. Can you just imagine him coming in and he finally found where he was at, and Paul would have been sitting in there probably in the dark, you know, in chains, getting ready to eventually be put to death. Can you imagine? Here he comes. Paul. And here's Onesiphorus. Onesiphorus. He comes in and he refreshes him. I tell you what, beloved, a visit when it's needed is the most refreshing thing to God's people. It means a lot to God's people. Very refreshing thing. And sometimes what we have to do is we just have to ask ourselves questions. If I was in that situation, what would I need? If I was in that situation, what would I need somebody to do? And it's what you do. You seek to meet it. Now, notice what it says in verse 16. Does everybody understand the message tonight? The ministry of what again? Refreshment. Ministry of refreshment. And it's basically coming to somebody's aid. Now notice what it says in verse 16. It says that he was not ashamed of my what? Chain, see. He's not ashamed of my chain. Now I think it leads a little bit more than being embarrassed by it. You know, I think the main idea of it, if Paul was there in prison for preaching the gospel, for making a stand for Christ, and he got put in prison for it, and here you're going in, and you're a Christian too. I don't know if I'd have wanted to go in there at that time, would you? So he said, I wasn't ashamed of his shame. I wasn't ashamed that he had been arrested. I wasn't ashamed. So he went on in. So the opposite of being ashamed is being bold. And he went in boldly there and refreshed the Apostle Paul. You know what would have refreshed him more than anything else? Do y'all have any idea? Just his presence. Here's a buddy. Here's a brother. Here's somebody that loved him. And out in the midst of this such a dark, dark time, he would have said, Paul, it's Onesiphorus. I've come to see you. I've brought you some things here that maybe will help you along a bit. Somebody there to pray with him if he needed it. See, that's what the ministry of refreshment is. And God's people have historically been known for that. Who, you know, one of the main people in the Bible that was known for being a refresher? It was Jesus. You know what the Bible says about Jesus? It says he went about doing what? He went about doing good. He went about doing good. Y'all think God's people should be do-gooders? I mean, you ever heard anybody say, well, they ain't nothing but a bunch of do-gooders. They use it in a negative way. But God's people should be known by their doing good. They'll help you. They'll come to your defense and they'll come to your aid. That's how it's supposed to be. One of the things that I read, I did studies on church history, and the enemies, this came from the enemies of God's people. One of the things that they would say, you got to give them credit. Those people really love one another. Well, y'all think it's a great testimony. Those people really love one another. It's a great, great benefit. And what's what we all should do? We should all practice this ministry of refreshment. Just think about how good it made him feel. Let's turn to the book of Matthew chapter 25. We're going to try to get this done in 15 minutes. You think it can? Matthew chapter 25. I want to tell you a little something about this. When I'm talking about going about doing good, we do good for God's people, Larry, right? We seek to watch after one another, and it should be that way. But I'm going to tell you something else you should do good for. You need to do good for lost people. I want you to hear me. There's a lot about Christianity that lost people don't understand. But they understand kindness. Y'all agree with me? They understand an act of kindness. They understand somebody will come to their aid and help them. And that gives you a great opportunity, especially with your unsaved neighbor. Something happens or, you know, they need help. And what can I do for you? Can I go to the store for you? Can I cut your grass? Do you need some money? What can I do to help you? Lost people understand that. That makes sense to them. And that's something that all of us can do. And that's something that all of us should do, especially if they're lost. Notice what it says here in Matthew chapter 25, and look at verse 34. I could read the whole section, but I'm just going to read this part of it. It said, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." He said, I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was a thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and what did you do? You visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. That's what we just read about that. Onesimus, that's exactly what he did. He visited the Apostle Paul in prison. I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. And I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then shall the righteous answer and said, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and ye clothed me? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye done it unto the least of one of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. All God's people said. Just like doing it for the Lord. Just like doing it for the Lord. That's a great blessing. This ministry of refreshment is also mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12. I want you to turn there too. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It gives you a list of different spiritual gifts that people had in 1 Corinthians 12. It gives you different gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28. And God has set some in the church, and he gives a list of different offices and different talents that people had. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, gifts of healings, and what's the next word? Somebody shout it for me. What is it? Helps. Helps. What's the gift of helps? Somebody, what's the gift of helps? It's helping people. That's just what it is. We talked about Jesus. He excelled at that, didn't he? Went about doing good. He helped people. That's what people understand, especially those that are lost. And when you do it for your brothers and sisters in Christ, that's the same as doing it for the Lord. It's a great blessing to be a help. Now, see what it is? You say, well, Jeff, what can I do here, Elizabeth? You can practice helps. We stand in need of all kinds of people that believe in the gift of helps. It's help. Help somebody. Come to somebody's aid. Help somebody that needs it. That's what it's referring to. And this gift of helps is the same thing as the ministry of refreshment. You seek to help people. And God's people historically has always been known for that. Now, I'll tell you what's happened. We've got too cold. Just bluntly, we've just got too cold. Because everybody's trying to rip you off, ain't they? Everybody's trying to rip you off. So many charlatans out there is trying to rip you off. And many times that gets to be an excuse not to help. There's people God puts in your way because He means for you to help them. He means for you to come to their aid. And it's a great testimony to them. And it's something that lost people understand. And it makes Christian people even more close to one another. I got my little yellow book out. I love this thing. Don Bean tried to steal the revival I did up there. Yep. And I hid it so he couldn't get it. Can't trust them mountain preachers. All right. Here, listen to this now. It says a good example. A chaplain on a battlefield came to a man who was lying in a shell hole, desperately wounded. He said, "Would you like me to read you something from the book, the Bible?" He asked. He said, "I'm so thirsty." He said, "I'd rather have a drink of water," the soldier said. Hurrying away, the chaplain soon brought the man water. Then the wounded man said, "Could you put something under my head? Could you put something under my head?" The chaplain took off his raincoat and he rolled it up and he gently placed it under the man's head for a pillow. "Now," said the suffering man, "if I just had something over me, I'm so cold." There was just one thing to meet that need. The chaplain took off his coat and he spread it over the man. So he did. The wounded soldier looked up into his face and he said, "If there is anything in that book in your hand that makes a man do for another that you have just done for me, please read it to me." Oh, God's people say it. That's what lost people don't understand a lot about Christianity. They understand kindness. They understand people to do good for them. And they understand somebody that will come to their aid. Y'all remember the good what? The good what in the Bible? The good Samaritan? Samaritan and the Jews were fierce enemies. He really put himself, the Jew got robbed, beaten, bleeding in a bad way. The Samaritan come by, poured in oil and wine in his cuts and bounded him up and put him on his own horse, Jack. He put him on his own horse, which means he had to do what? He had to walk. He really put himself out. And then he went and he took him to an inn and he got him looked after and binded up. And he said, "Now, you watch after him." And then he reached, he reached back here and got his billfold out and said, "Now, here's money. And if it's any more than that, when I come by, I'll pay the rest of it." Oh, God's people said. That's Christianity. That's what it looks like. In action. In action. We forget all these things. We're biblically sound, ain't we? We understand all those doctrines, don't we? And we should. I love Bible doctrine. I've talked to about every Bible doctrine that there was. But there's also a practical part of Christianity. There's a practical part of it where you put feet on your prayer, so to speak. It's what old timers used to say. And you seek to make needs when you think people might have them. Many times we can shut up our bowels of compassion and just absolutely don't care. Ain't us. They probably had it coming to them. It's not how we're supposed to be. We're to minister, though. We're to be helpers. We're to come to people's aid when they need it. Saved people, church people. But man, but lost people, too. Means much to them. Oh, God's people say it. Okay, this is the gift of refreshment. This is the gift of refreshment. I want to again warn you about this. If you can completely get away, and that's what I'm working on, because I do it too. From West Virginia, do it a lot. Try to completely get away from saying, "If you need anything, holler." Change that to, "What can I do to help you? What can I do to help you?" I remember, and this requires a little bit of being thoughtful too. especially if you're, this requires putting yourself in somebody else's place. And if I was in their place, what would I need? Let me tell you what happened to me. I'm glad Doug Wilson ain't here. But him and Sandy, Sandy's here, so I can bear Sandy too along with this. Remember my back was, my back was in such bad shape. I tell you, it was the awfulest time. I lost about 20 pounds. The pain from that was the worst pain in the world. And I couldn't do nothing, Larry. I literally couldn't do anything. I'd come down here and I'd preach for 20 minutes. Some people say they wish to go out again. You know, I did 20-minute sermons, and then I'd go out the side door and just pretty much fall out the side door. So there was a lot that I couldn't do. And most people won't ask anybody to do anything. And I guess that's pride, isn't it? And I didn't ask anybody to do anything. But you know what happened? On the front of my house, I have vinyl siding up in the gable part of it. And guess what? On top of having a bad back, the wind come up and blowed one piece of siding and went all the way across off where you can see the Celotex behind it. That drove me crazy. It just looked awful. It did. I said, can't even go out and put up a piece of siding. And it just looked awful, and that bothered me to no end. And I tell you, it was the next morning. I heard somebody knocking on the door, and there was Sandy and Wilson. And they said, "That siding's probably bugging you, isn't it?" I said, "It's driving me crazy." And they put it up for me. How thoughtful was that? Now, that don't seem like a big deal to you, but that was a big deal to me. They looked at that. They saw that. They figured that would bug them, so they went ahead and put it up for me. That's what I'm talking about. If they would have come to the door and said, "If you need anything, holler at us," I wouldn't have said, "I want you to put my siding up for me." I wouldn't have said it. But they looked at it, and they saw it, and they figured I needed it, and they figured it was bugging me, and it was driving me crazy. Yeah. And they put that up for me. That's what this gift of refreshment, this ministry of refreshment is. And you know who can do that? All of us. God will set someone in your way at times so that you can come to their aid. And what this message will do is it'll make you more thoughtful of it. I love to help people. I love to have the opportunities to help people. And you not only pray for opportunities to witness, but opportunities to help somebody. And God will put someone in your way so that you can help them and come to their aid. Well, that's the ministry of refreshment. And that's what God wants us to do as a church too. We spread the gospel message. We teach His word. But we also, when we leave here, we carry out this ministry of refreshment. All God's people say it. That'll close out chapter 1, and I'll give you a test on it next week. Enjoy the message. Gets down where you live, doesn't it? A little bit different, but let's all stand. That's enough for one.